Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
It is an honor to be at James River Church. This definitely is one of Earl, my husband, and I's favorite churches in all the world. There's really no place like James River, I promise you. I have the honor of traveling all around the world, and this house is set apart. It's a city on a hill, and it starts, of course, with the goodness of God. Yes, you can clap. And it also starts with your leadership, starting with Pastor John and Pastor Debbie, two of the finest leaders, humans on the planet Earth. I was telling First Service this, that your leadership has marked and changed my life, my family, my husband and I, the way we lead our church. You've been a part of major decisions, like when we get ready to take ground, to purchase a building, to praying my son through the right relationship, through strategy for, yep, that's for sure. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, for the right relationship. But I'm just so grateful for the path that you guys have carved out. So thankful that my husband and I can follow you, and not just my husband and I, but leaders all around the world follow in your footsteps. We're so thankful for your faithfulness, your integrity, your commitment to make it on earth as it is in heaven. This church is such a gift, and we're so thankful that you and the Spirit breathe life into it, and we're all the beneficiaries. Pastor Brandon, Pastor David, Pastor Savannah, the whole entire pastoral team of this church is the real deal. I've watched them praise God. I've watched them pray for you. I've watched them fast for you. I've watched them cry out to God for miracles to take place in your life. What oozes out of them and this entire family is love for Jesus, love for the local church, and love for each and every one of you. You are a part of an amazing house. So pray for your leaders. Yes, clap. It's hard to find pastors like the pastors that you have at James River. And Shoreline City in Dallas, Texas says thank you for the leadership of this house. But I am going to jump into my message. I have a word burning on my heart. And the title of my message is, It's Already Won. Turn to the person next to you and say, It's Already Won. I'm going to be talking today about battles. I don't know if you are facing any battles currently, or if there, I do know for sure if you're not, that there's battles waiting for you in the future, because we live in a fallen, broken world. And when you're in a battle, you need a battle strategy. Because the world will try to tell you that when you're in a battle, that you just write about it online, and you just try to just like complain about your battle that you're in. But the Spirit of God has wisdom and a strategy from heaven on what our posture should be when everything around us breaks loose. And usually battles come unannounced. It's not like you get a calendar reminder. You have 2 weeks till your next battle comes. So have all the fun now. Go on all the date nights, the family trips now, because a battle's coming on such and such date. Usually they catch you by surprise. And a battle, we've had so many battles as a family. And one that caught us by surprise was one that came this, I could talk to you all day about battles, and I'm sure you could tell me about yours as well. But one in particular that came out of nowhere was a battle that we faced with my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law, she's amazing. She's a boss. She's a leader. Earl's mom, she stands tall. She was a single mom that raised Earl by herself. She had him planted in church. She has a fierceness about her. And when we both met, it's funny because we're complete opposites. So she is very East Coast. So that means she just says it straight. There's no sugarcoating. There's no filters. There's no tenderness. There's no lathering before shaving. She just hits you straight. And I'm more, I have a fierceness and a strength, but I'm also like, I like to hug you. I like to look you in your eyes. I want to hear your story. And I may word something completely different because we just both grew up differently. So when Earl first brought me home to her, we definitely clashed a little bit. She's one of those boy moms, and now I find myself being that same boy mom in that nobody was good enough for her son. When she met me, we were in college and we both were in a leadership position. I'll bring her with me to DFL so you can meet her and you can ask her about these stories. But we were both in a leadership position in our college campus, and she literally said to me, you guys, sometimes people can say crazy things, but keep in mind she has no filter. So wait for it. She says, you're in this leadership position because you're dating my son. She said, that's why they gave you this position, because you date Earl McClellan. And I said, no, I stand on my own. I have also a call in my life. But she just says crazy things like that. But we have since bonded. Now I can honestly say she is one of my favorite people. We watch movies together. We get coffee together. She's Dunkin' Donuts, I'm Starbucks, but we still have coffee dates. We laugh together, we go shopping together, and she's become a fixture in our home. So much so that she moves in with us. So she's literally a fixture in our home. And so we've gotten really close. But our kids love her. She tells the funniest stories, and they just love how honest and straightforward she is. But we were getting ready to go on family vacation last summer, and she got super sick. We had to have the EMS come to our house. They had to whisk her away in an ambulance. She ended up being in the hospital for well over 2 weeks, dare I say three. They could not find out what was wrong with her. They brought in like the incurable disease doctors. They brought in all these specialists. We have a friend that has extreme leadership at that hospital. So we thought surely because we know someone in charge, we're gonna get answers and we're gonna get answers quick. But they, for the life of them, could not figure out what was going on with her body. Finally, they discovered it and were able to treat it, but she couldn't go with us on vacation. It wasn't the same. We were up at the hospital every day. Every night, we would have a meeting at church and we'd run to the hospital. We had our family meals there. We had game nights there. We just did everything that we could to be by her side. It was very stressful and it was very intense and it was a battle. But the church prayed, we prayed, and we watched God heal her body one step at a time. And here we are. Yes, she's home. She's back to telling me that I have my couch in the wrong place and I wouldn't trade it for the world. And as we prepare as a family to go away next month, she will be coming with us. God is so good. But there were times, yes, you can clap. But there were times in that battle where we felt forgotten, we felt alone. And I'm going to verse by verse take us through a leader in the Bible who faced a battle. And we're gonna learn from his battle strategy, not the strategy of the world, what to do when the battle comes. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 20. Here we go. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, with some of the Midianites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Who is Jehoshaphat? He was a young king of Judah, 35 years old. He reigned for 25 years. His dad was king before him, so he was stepping into leadership on the heels of his dad. He was one of the most famous and richest kings of Judah. So he had lots of influence and lots of stature and lots of presence. And when he got word that an army was coming against him, there's a posture and a way that he walked this out that I want to be the playbook for us as we walk out battles. Because just like it says a vast army is coming against you. Many of us are facing a vast army. It could be a vast army coming against our marriage, coming against our finances, coming against us as a student in school. We're trying to do the right thing, but the peer pressure and everything our friends are doing feels like a vast army coming against us. We want to say no to going to the party. We want to say no to drinking with our friends, but it feels like a vast army of peer pressure. It feels like a vast army coming against our company. Your numbers were a different way this time last year, but this year they feel down. Your team is not standing tall like they used to. They used to crush it, used to be able to just send a text message and say, go get them. But now you feel like you have to do a whole like summary and a whole 3-point speech to motivate your team. A vast army is coming against your health. It's coming against your grades where you just feel like I used to study for an hour and I would crush my test. Now I study and I get brain fog, a vast army. A vast army can be coming against your child at school where you feel like the teacher who you love and adore doesn't quite have the key to unlock learning for your student, a vast army. But this is what Jehoshaphat did in verse 3. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord and proclaimed a fast for all. I love that it says alarmed, which means it stated that he was scared. He was concerned. In the battle that you are facing now or may be facing in the future, it's normal for you to be concerned. It's normal for you to be scared. But look here, right on the heels of the word alarmed, it says resolved. And when I think of that word resolve, I see him standing tall in the face of fear. I see him standing firm. I see him saying, I trust God, even though everything is coming against me. I'm going to resolve. And I love that his resolve was not just stating the obvious that the army was coming, but I love that he declared a fast and said, let's pray. And as a church, we're doing that same thing in just a couple weeks on July 27th. We're declaring a fast because we have resolve. We want to see miracles take place in this city. We want to see miracles take place in our families. We want to see your business flourish. We want to see the next generation on fire for God. And when you have a position of resolve, it's a position of strength. So you can be afraid, but you can also have resolve because you're saying, I put my trust in God. I put my business in God's hands. I put my family in God's hands. So would you join us in that fast? Because we're going to believe God for breakthrough, for miracles, for changed lives, for chains to fall, for minds to be renewed. And we're going to see a shift in the atmosphere when we unify together. We're going to do exactly what he did. We're going to fast and pray. Verse 4. This is our strategy, y'all. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. I love that they came together to seek God. They didn't come together to complain. They didn't come together to say, nobody loves me. Why does this keep happening? They didn't come together to talk each other out of the plan of God for their lives. They came together to seek God. And may we be known as sons and daughters that when we come together, we seek the face of God. We believe God for miracles. We believe God for signs and wonders and breakthrough. We believe God to shift and change the situation and the atmosphere. I love that they came together corporately. That's why it's so important to stay planted in God's house. Because when you come together and you have a praying believer on your right and on your left, anything is possible. Tell the person next to you, anything's possible. It goes on to say in verse 5, then Jehoshaphat, so this is a leader who's strong, and this is what he does. He prays, he fasts, he says, I am resolved to call upon the Lord. Then he stood up in the assembly. Men, women, and children were there. And I believe that they were there to witness a generational miracle. And it says, men, women, children of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard. And they said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand. And I believe that they were reminding themselves that God, you are in control. God, our situation, this war, this attack that's pending, it's in your hand. And when it's in your hand, it may seem big to me, but it is small to you. And sometimes you have to remind yourself that God has a good track record. Sometimes you have to remind yourself that you weren't always saved, that you weren't always surrounded with an amazing church like this, that you didn't always have the friendships that you'd have, that you didn't always have the business that you have. I was telling First Service, I remember when I was in college and I went away to college and my priority in college was school, learning, and when's the next party? I did not know that God had a plan for my life. I did not know that I was called and set apart. I didn't know that God had a marriage waiting for me. I didn't know that walking into a church just like this would change the trajectory of my entire life. And so when I get discouraged, when life seems to come at me in every single direction, I do what Jehoshaphat did and I remind myself. I remind myself that it feels like yesterday that I was just going from party to party. I remind myself that I didn't always speak with this passion and with this intensity. I remind myself that God took control of my life, washed me, cleansed me, set me free, and put me on the right track. And sometimes you have to remind yourself that He is faithful, and you have to speak to your soul, and you have to get your soul to stand at attention with the Word of God, and you have to read Scripture over yourself to command your spirit to get into alignment with what God says. And that's what they did. Verse 9, this is what he continues to say with his battle strategy. If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple. I love that he didn't say we're going to leave church because things got hard. I love that when the war was waging, he said, I'm going to stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress. We will cry out in our distress. He didn't say we just cry out when things are going good in our relationships. He didn't say we cry out when we get the business deal that we were hoping for. He didn't say cry out just because we finally got asked out on a date. He said we cry out in our distress. And it says, here's the thing he knew. He said, you hear us. So when you cry out to God, he hears you. And it says, you will hear us and you will save us. So even if the storm rages as it does, God is saying, I'm with you. I see you. I have not forgotten you. I know every hair on your head. I know what keeps you up at night. And you may be thinking the situation is not going to turn around. But while you're thinking that, I'm singing my loving kindness over you. I'm singing grace over you. I'm singing my promises over you. And just like when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Daniel in the lion's den, the heat was turned up, but they came out with not clothing ripped or smelling like smoke. And it's a reminder to us that even though you may be going through the fire, you are going through it. And when you get on the other side, it's going to be a testimony that you're going to be able to share and give glory to God. Sometimes we got to get a picture. That's good news. I think we should be clapping. That's good news. We have to get a picture of who's on the other side of our victory. Verse 12, for we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. I think about the times in Dallas, and I'm sure you've had the same thing happen when you have lost power. We've lost power in the middle of the night, and you wake up and you can't see. You're wondering if there's batteries in the flashlight. You're wondering how you're going to be able to walk around to see, to grab anything. You don't want to trip. You don't want to fall because there's darkness around you. And when we try to face a battle by ourselves without the Spirit of God, it's like walking around a house with no power. And he recognized that. He said, we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. You ever felt like that? Like, I don't know what to do. I love that even with his royal position, he was honest and expressed, I don't know what to do. But on the other hand, he said, but our eyes are on you. So I have good news for you this morning. When you don't know what to do, and you don't have all the answers, and you don't have to, we have to keep our eyes fixed on the one who does. We can't keep our eyes fixed on the situation. We can't put the situation on an altar and worship it and talk about it constantly and let us define us and let us repaint a picture of ourselves and of our future. We have to worship the Lord, keep our eyes on him and say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with this teenager. I do not know what to do. They know better. I'm keeping my eyes on you, and I'm sending them to camp, and I'm letting the Spirit of God grab a hold of their heart when they're at camp. I don't know what to do. Newlywed couple, I don't know what to do. I feel like my communication is off. I thought that as soon as I got married, everything was going to be like a fairy tale, and we'd be floating on a cloud, but instead we're arguing. I don't know what to do. Well, the world would tell you, I guess you picked wrong. The world would tell you, I guess you need to start all over again. The world would tell you, I guess I just must have missed it. But when you keep your eyes on the Lord, you look at your spouse differently. And you say they're fearfully and wonderfully made. You say they're called by God. You say they were handpicked from heaven for me. You say that they have the mind of Christ. You say that they're going to have words that line up with scripture, and you speak and you pray over the situation. That's what we do when we keep our eyes fixed on him. Verse 13. This is our battle strategy. All of the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood before the Lord. So they're all in the courtyard, and I love that it's all ages, just like this beautiful church. One of the things that inspires me every time I come is I see all the ages coming together, worshiping the Lord. And I just want to remind us to keep our kids planted in church. The older they get, it's harder and harder. There'll be so many activities and different things competing for your time as a family. But I just want to encourage you that your kids need to witness the goodness of God. They need to see his miracles happen before their very eyes. Because guess what? When you have a son or a daughter who's planted in God's house and they go away to college and their friend or their roommate is sick, guess what they're going to know to do? They're going to know to lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. They're going to know that it's not the final say. When they have a situation and they're struggling, they're going to have leaders here from their small groups who they can call and they can say, everyone around me is partying. What should I do? They can text a leader from James River Church who can pray for them, who can speak life over them. When you surround your kids with a healthy family, not just your family, but a church family, anything is possible. Anything. We went through a season with our 20-year-old son who now is just on fire for God. He preached his first sermon at Young Adults. He's about to preach at summer camp next week. And we walk by his room. He's blasting praise and worship music. We see him having quiet times with his highlighter. I'm just going to tell you it's an answer to prayer. But there was a time, you can clap, because to have a son who's 20 years old, who's planted in God's church, I give God the glory for that. But there was a time when he was in high school where he was a hot mess. And I doubted all the things, because the enemy, when life hits, makes to try to make you doubt. He tries to make you think, I guess this was all for nothing. So when I would watch the choices he was making, I would think, well, what about the scriptures we prayed over you? I would think about, what about the family nights? What about the bedtime routine? What about the spa time I used to do when you were a newborn baby? What about all the times that we've been at every single game, whether you play or you don't play, every performance? What about all the things that he's seen with his very own eyes? Why is he losing his mind in this season? And I had to encourage myself and remind myself that the seeds were still in there, even though they felt very dormant. This is for someone today. But I am so grateful we kept him in church. And I'm so grateful that he had the voice of his youth leaders who were speaking life over him, who were reminding him who he was, who was telling him when he made bad choices that he needed to tell his mom and dad, who was telling him that where some of his choices would have him end up. And so it was the voice of his leaders, the voice of Jesus, and our voice as parents that kept him planted, that got him out of his crazy season, and now he's stepping into his purpose. Keep your kids planted. One of my very best friends has a little toddler. Her name is Ezra. And she has decided, even though her little girl is 2.5, she's going to keep her planted in God's church. And I have a little video of her worshiping the Lord, even at this little age. And I want us to see this as a reminder and a picture that we need to start young, reminding kids who they are, because we have a world that every day is trying to talk them out of who they belong to. I want you to watch this video, because this is a generational church, and we're raising up sons and daughters to praise his name. Look at them praising God. That is why now that they're singing, "You've been so good to me, what a friend you've been," that will be imprinted on their heart. And when they walk through life and continue to grow up, they're gonna have the songs of the house written on their heart. And that is why I cannot express enough, fight to have your family planted in church. Verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of Zechariah. They're all together. They're in this courtyard. And it says, as he stood in the assembly, So he was one of the people in the audience. He was in the middle of the assembly. And it says that this is what he said. So someone from the crowd prophesied over the king and over the situation. And you love it as a leader when you're facing a battle and someone from the crowd speaks life over the situation. That is a pastor's favorite thing, to know that they have a church that is praying for them, that is fighting battles on the front line with them. And I love that God knew that this is what that moment called for. This is what he said. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He is saying to us today, listen, James River, do not be discouraged because of this vast army, because the battle is not yours, it's God. Listen, doctor, lawyer, influencer, leader, student, the battle is not yours, it belongs to God. And his name means be held by God. And I think that that happened in the middle of that assembly to remind Jehoshaphat and every son and daughter that was there that we are beheld by God. Even when the fire is turned up, even when you're in the middle of a battle, it's so important for you to know that God is holding you. The Bible says he will never leave you or forsake you. He knows every hair upon your head. He says to cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you, and he is holding you even as you walk through the fire. I think the enemy would try to lie to you, to make you think that you're alone, to make you think you shouldn't come to church, to make you think that your battle is raging and that you just need to stay alone and be by yourself. That is a lie from the enemy. Being in God's house, whether you're on the mountaintop or the valley, is the very best place to be. And whatever you're facing, God is holding you. He is with you. When you make the right call, when you miss it and make the right call, he is still with you. He is still holding you. Verse 17, here we go, battle strategy. You will not, this is such good news. We just need to all exhale. You will not have to fight this battle. You will not have to fight this battle. You will not have to fight this battle. My God, take up your positions. Stand firm. And see the deliverance the Lord will give to you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I love that it says, go out and face them tomorrow, but you don't have to face them in your own strength. You can face them in strength that comes from the Lord, because he is fighting every single battle for you. And I love that Jehoshaphat, in that moment, he was humble and didn't act like he had all the answers. I love that he put his trust in God. And I think that we should mirror his posture when we're in a battle. And this is what he did in verse 18. It says, Jehoshaphat bowed down. They have word that the enemy is coming, that the enemy is near. They have word that the battle is about to rage. But instead of shrinking back, instead of questioning, God, are you with me? Are you really real? Why are you letting this happen? I love that even with his royalty and position of honor, the Bible says, like verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed down. And this should be our posture when we're in a battle. It says he bowed down with his face to the ground. So imagine the courtyard with all the kids, with all the families, with the fear that could be looming over every single one, wondering, am I gonna be all right? Is my family gonna be all right? Are my finances going to be okay? Am I gonna get the breakthrough that I'm believing God for? Is my marriage gonna turn around? It says he bowed down, which should be our posture, with his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. And I believe that in that moment, that they were reminded that they were standing on holy ground. And if you're facing or fighting any type of battle, I have good news for you. As you were planted in James River Church, as you decided to make being in the house of God your priority, you are standing on holy ground. The presence of God is here. He wants to remind you this morning and every day that you are not alone, that He will never leave you or forsake you. And as we have a posture of surrender, I just wonder for just a moment, we could remind ourselves that we are standing on holy ground, that there are angels all around being dispatched to fight battles on our behalf. Let's sing that we are standing on holy ground.
On holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray.
Give God praise. This is holy ground. His presence is here. His loving, His kindness, His mercy, and His grace. It goes on to say, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever." Instead of weapons in that moment, they put the singers on the front line. And in the front line, in the midst of battle, they said, "I'm going to give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever." Verse 22, as they began to sing in praise, the Lord sent ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. They were defeated as they were giving thanks to the Lord. The enemy was defeated. It goes on to say, as I was studying this, the word ambush just intrigued me. And an ambush is a surprise attack by, and you can be seated, I'm almost done. But an ambush is a surprise attack by people lying wait in a concealed position. The form of the word in verse 22 of ambushes is slightly unusual and means ambushers. And since it's said that God sent them, some have thought that there were supernatural agents working on God's behalf to usher in the victory. And I just here to declare that God has supernatural agents that are working on your behalf to bring victory in your situation. Supernatural agents. Verse 30. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace. And I'm just praying that even as I'm speaking, the peace of God is surrounding your heart right now. For His God, your God, and my God had given Him rest on every side. Rest in your marriage. We declare and speak rest over your marriage. rest and peace over your health and over your household. Rest and peace over the frustration that you're facing at business, in your business. Rest and peace over your child who you can't get to find the right teacher or the right tutor to help unlock the brilliance that you've known that is on the inside of them. Rest for your mind that sometimes races and causes you to be panicked. Rest for what your future is like. I believe that there's some of us that are plagued with fear of the future. And I just want to remind you that God is declaring rest and peace over your heart and your mind. Rest on every single side. Rest on your right. Rest on your left. Rest in front of you. Rest behind you. And a scripture that I want to share with y'all is found in Isaiah 61. And it says this as I prepare to close. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to comfort all who mourn. If you're in any season of grief, or you have anyone who's walking through grief, God wants you to have comfort today. To console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. Those of you dealing with any kind of loss or heaviness, I just sense God just saying, I'm surrounding you with the oil of joy. And I have a prop that I would like for it to come out as I continue to read this. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If any of you are dealing with any type of heaviness, as you praise, thank you, and worship God, we're believing, and we're going to worship again shortly, that that spirit of heaviness is going to be replaced with a garment of praise. This is your future, that you may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Another translation says this. This is my prop that I'm about to demonstrate to you what God's going to do and clothe you with. Any of you walking through a heavy season, a battle, a season of something that feels like impossible, a season of darkness and heaviness, another translation of Isaiah 61 says, giving you the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, a mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. You will not faint. You will not be taken out. You will not be left on the side of the road. God's gonna surround you with a mantle of praise. People are gonna say, why are you crying? Aren't you crying? Why aren't you at home in bed? And you're gonna say, my God surrounded me with a mantle of praise. I had to get to the house of God. Mantle means to conceal, to wrap, like I'm surrounded with this blanket. It means to eclipse. And prophets back in the day wore a wrap, a mantle. They wore it as a sign of calling from God. They wore it as a sign to remember that they are wrapped in God's authority. They wore it as a sign to recognize God's spiritual presence and shelter from the enemies. They wore a mantle as a symbol of crossing over. And as we get ready to worship, I want you to see and imagine a mantle of praise over your family, over your situation. I want you to see that you're walking in a new authority, that you have new resolve, that you have new fight, that you have new strength, that you have your hope found in the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. I'm prophesying over James River Church. Your best days are ahead. It may look like you're surrounded, but you're surrounded by the armies of the living God and by the Spirit of God. He is wrapping you with a mantle of praise. He's destroying.